man, I'm always down. I'm always down to talk to you. Let's do this.
Welcome to Daphne 2 Presents the Pod. Today I have on Grant Dawson, KGD. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Grant?
I am a professional UFC fighter. I fight for the UFC, and I'm currently ranked number 15 in the world at lightweight.
Nice, man. I was so excited when I saw that you were a Scooby-Doo fan. I'm like, I'm gonna get him on the show right away.
Yeah, man. My wife and I are both big Scooby-Doo fans.
Oh yeah.
So I'm actually really excited for this one.
Let's hop right into it. How long have you been watching Scooby-Doo for?
I mean, since I was a kid. Obviously, you know, I started off with, I think my first one was What's New Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
You know, the old, back in the day. But I've seen quite a few. I haven't seen every single one, but I've seen quite a few of the remakes. And my wife and I are actually, we just started last night. I think it's called Be Cool Scooby-Doo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we liked the first three episodes. So that's fun.
Well, Be Cool has become a modern classic almost, you know.
A lot of people told me that it was really good, and the Be Cool Scooby-Doo told me it was really good, and I didn't really give it a chance because I didn't like the art style.
Mm-hmm.
But people that I respect told me, like, hey, it is good, you should give it a try. And so we did, and the first three episodes have been just great. So, you know, we really like it, and we're gonna keep on that one.
You really got to get through the art style, that's for sure. That it turned me off for years. Definitely took me a good 3 or 4 years to give Be Cool a try.
I'm the same way. Most of the voice actors, though, seem pretty accurate, though. So I'm excited to give it a try. And the first three episodes were hilarious, so I'm very excited to give it a try.
Have you seen all of the original series? Where are you?
I mean, I would say most of it. I don't know if I've sat down and watched every single episode consecutively,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely have seen, you know, enough to have a good conversation about it.
What do you think about them bringing back Elias Kingston for the first episode of Be Cool? I thought that was an interesting sort of niche choice as far as, you know, villains they could have picked to bring back. What did you think about that?
I mean, I haven't gotten that far into Be Cool yet.
That was the first.
Who does he play?
That was from the first.
He was the first villain.
Mystery at
college.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's okay. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they brought him back. I think it was Where Are You Villain that came back. It was such a niche one. You know, you don't even realize it's a classic villain. I was the same way. I didn't know until I looked it up. I'm like, wait.
Damn, that's pretty cool, man. I didn't realize that.
So what's your favorite Scooby-Doo series?
My favorite, like, without a shadow of a doubt, is Mystery Incorporated. I think that it is, I think that it brings something to Scooby-Doo that we haven't seen before, and that's, like, arcs. Like, I think the show actually is about all of them, obviously, but I actually think of Fred as the main character in Mystery Incorporated, because he's kind of got like this arc where he like is kind of this weird dude, and then he's trying to find himself, and him and Daphne have this weird thing going on, and then like by the end of the series he's like kind of matured into this, you know, like this leader of the team, and you know, I think that it just has the most story, and I think it's the first, I might be wrong on this, but as far as I know, it's the first time where it's like they have individual villains where they have to solve the cases, but like at the end, it all ties in together to one long story.
Yeah.
So for me, it absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, is Mystery Incorporated.
Oh man, Mystery Incorporated is absolutely legendary. I'm happy to hear that's your favorite. That's definitely one of my favorites up there too.
Yeah, I'm sure you know this, but there was supposed to be a season 3 of Mystery Incorporated, mm-hmm. but they ended up canceling it for another redo of Scooby-Doo. I can't remember which one
ended up
replacing it, but what is it?
Be Cool came right after Mystery Incorporated.
Okay, so it must have been that one, but they were going to do a season 3, and I've actually read like what the premise of season 3 was going to be, and I think it would have been pretty cool.
Oh man, you went deep on the iceberg there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good, that's my favorite. My wife and I have probably seen it start to finish like 8 or 9 times.
Oh man, I haven't even watched it that many times. I think that one, you know, it aired, I was still young, like 12 or 13 when it first aired. And it was, you know, it took me a little while to get into the idea, like, wait, Scooby-Doo is sort of mature now. But I think once I got the hook of the show, like, it's an ongoing storyline and there's the character development, I got right into it. What really sold me on the show was the Mystery Solvers Club state final episode, where the art style is different and camera jaw and stuff is in there.
Right. Yep. And then they had all the other Hanna-Barbera.
Buggy was in there.
Yeah, right. It was like all the mystery solving, like the guys that they tried to like copy Scooby-Doo and it just never all took the off clones as much.
Were there. Exactly.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. The big shark, what was his fucking name?
Jabberjaw.
Right. Yeah. Jabberjaw. Fuck. Yeah.
Oh, I was disappointed. Did you know they were supposed to bring him back for Scoob, but they didn't? They ended up throwing that away.
Really? I didn't know that.
So what's your favorite Scooby-Doo movie?
My favorite movie? Mm-hmm. It's a tie. Okay. Hear me out.
Okay.
It's a tie between Zombie Island, the first one, obviously, and
definitely not Return to Zombie Island.
No, absolutely not. But no, Cyber Chase was those are like my two favorites. And I know that Zombie Island is a better movie than Cyber Chase, but growing up, I watched the Cyber Chase one more because my parents let me watch it because it was a little bit, you know,
more kid-friendly
than the real zombies and the voodoo dolls. Mm-hmm. So I grew up watching that one. But then when I became a young adult, I got to see the other one and I really liked them both. So those two are my absolute favorites.
We all thought we were adults when we were teenagers.
I remember the first time watching Zombie Island and I was cool with it all the way up until like the end when they turned into the cat, the werecats or whatever. And that freaked the fuck out of me. And then like a couple of years later, when I got older, I watched it again. I was like, wow, this is a really good movie.
It's like, it's not just a good Scooby movie. It's a good movie of all genres. You know, it's gotta be one of the best direct to video movies ever made.
Right. And I think I would say that, like, if you're not a Scooby-Doo fan, one, you're wrong, but two, like, you can go watch, I think you could watch that movie. And honestly, all four of those movies, Alien one, I wasn't super, super into. Okay. Even when I was a kid, I didn't really like that one. Mm-hmm. The witch one, I'm blanking on their
the
names.
Witch's the witch's ghost.
Right. Yep. And then the Cyber Chase and the Zombie Island. I think those are the three best Scooby-Doo movies. Not in that same genre, but I liked Where's My Mummy too because growing up, my mom let me watch that one over and over and over and over. So that one was a big favorite of mine. And I think the reason why I liked it so much was because Velma ended up being the bad guy.
Right. I think that plot twist got me as a kid for sure. I'm like, what the heck? I was watching it on Cartoon Network or something when it first aired on TV. You know, they waited like a year after they released it on DVD to put it on TV. I was so excited. I'm like, you know.
Right. When I was a kid, I legit thought they killed Velma when they put her in they turned her into concrete, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Or turned her into stone, I guess. I legit thought that they killed her. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then it turns out that she was the villain.
You know, I good always movie. Felt like that was a Star Wars reference, maybe. You know, how they, you know, so I always had the feeling that they bring them back, like, as, you know, to go with that. So I'm like, she'll be back somewhere. Where is she going to show up? But I was not expecting where she's at. It's always the Scooby-Doo we have as a kid that's the most influential on us, I think. Like, I had just 2002, the live-action movie. I had that on DVD as a kid, and I watched that over and over again. I could say that's definitely one of my favorite movies. Have you seen all the movies?
I mean, I haven't seen every single one, okay. But I think that I've seen more than most adults my age, probably. Uh-huh. So one of my absolute favorite ones is the Loch Ness Monster one. And it's actually funny because when I was growing up, I saw that movie and I have this unrealistic fear of deep water that I can't see the bottom of. Okay. And like sea monsters. I'm like, to this day, I am terrified of like the ocean. And my wife and I took a trip to Scotland and I went to Loch Ness. And I took a tour on it and I absolutely had to go on it because that was one of my favorite Scooby-Doo movies growing up. And so I told myself, if I ever visit Scotland, I'm going there and I'm going to get on a tour and I'm going to go on the lake. And man, it was creepy, but it was fun to hear about. It was fun to learn about actually growing up this monster that was in one of my favorite movies. And then like hearing about the real legend of it was so cool.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that. Going to locations from Scooby-Doo, that's a childhood dream come true right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually made a post about it when I went there saying and I put the Scooby-Doo Loch Ness Monster poster on there and then a picture of me standing by Loch Ness and was just like, 13-year-old Grant would be proud of you, man.
Oh, man. All right, I have a deep question for you. I want to ask this before I forget. So I was listening to one of your interviews that you did, and you said you sometimes get inspired for moves from movies or TV shows you've seen, like fight moves. Have you gotten any fight moves inspired by Scooby-Doo?
No, I can't say that I have, but probably when I was younger, there was a bunch of moves. There was a bunch of stuff. Like there was sometimes like Scooby would get like swung around by his tail and stuff like that. And I think I tried that on my dog once and he bit me.
Oh my God. Oh man.
Yeah. So I never tried that again, but no, not from Scooby-Doo. More of my stuff came from like the Matrix and like those types of old kung fu movies that I would watch, or like Never Back Down, those old MMA movies. I would watch those when I was younger and be like, oh man, like these are really cool moves. I'm going to do these in the cage, and then none of them work.
So what are some of your favorite non-Scooby-Doo movies or TV shows you like to watch?
Well, obviously I'm a big Star Wars nerd. So like right now we're watching The Bad Batch. We're really excited for The Mandalorian to come out, which I highly recommend anybody to watch. Even if you're not a Star Wars fan, watch The Mandalorian. I bet you will like it.
I gotta watch it. I gotta get a subscribe to Disney Plus finally.
it's really good, man. I would highly recommend it. I'm down. I watch a lot of Disney movies. We just went and saw Puss in Boots: Last Wish last night. It was one of the best movies I think I've seen in a while. It was really, really, really good. I highly, highly recommend anybody to go watch it. DreamWorks, I think, has some of the best movies, which they're so underrated too. Like you got all of the Shrek movies, you got How to Train Your Dragon, which is just perfect all the way through. You got like The Prince of Egypt, you got Joseph, you got just so many, like you got Flushed Away, Road to Eldorado,
Flushed all Away these masterpieces. Oh yeah.
Oh, it's really good. Really good. Oh, and Kung Fu Panda, which was another three movies that I thought were just perfect, start to finish. They didn't screw those up at all. I really think that DreamWorks is batting 1,000 right now. I think Disney, every other movie is good. Some movies suck. Some movies are good. But man, DreamWorks just a B movie. Like that movie was great. Like
DreamWorks, I think DreamWorks is always classic. Every movie.
Every single one is just a family classic. And like Puss in Boots was actually pretty dark. It was actually pretty it was good. It had a lot of good messages, you know, like family values, like fighting death. And then like enjoying your last life that you have. It was a good movie. I highly recommend it.
I'm gonna definitely go check that out. You know, you just reminded me of something. When I was a kid, I had a Kung Fu Panda Scooby-Doo Zombie Island combo DVD pack. I've never been able to find that ever again. But I totally forgot about that.
That thing probably is worth money today because right. That's actually sick, right?
Such a specific, like, so completely different era, completely different companies. I'm like, where did that come from? It had to have been a bootleg.
Oh, absolutely. I think, so we had VHS, that's how old I am. We had a VHS tape, and it had The Land Before Time. Nice. It had the very first Balto movie. Okay. Actually, I had two Land Before Time movies. And then there was one more on it, and I can't remember what it is. It might have been Road to El Dorado. I think it was Road to El Dorado, maybe.
That was my favorite as a kid. Oh, man.
It was definitely a DreamWorks movie. Oh yeah, Road to El Dorado is a solid. And I think we can all agree that Chell was everybody's first crush.
Everybody's first crush.
Oh, 100%. I my wife would leave me for Chell. I would leave. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
We all want to go to El Dorado just for that.
Yeah, we don't even give a shit about the gold. It's the women there.
So let's get back to Scooby-Doo. What do you think of Velma? Have you seen it?
I haven't watched it yet. I've seen parts of the first episode. I haven't really sat down, and I haven't had time to like really sit down between training, my training schedule, and then, you know, watching The Bad Batch and then watching Be Cool Scooby-Doo. Like, we're pretty booked, so I haven't been able to I haven't been able to see it yet, but I think I'm gonna wait for it to all every episode to come out, and then maybe try it. I'm also kind of waiting to see what other people say about it. And I'm gonna be honest, like, I haven't seen it yet, but I haven't really heard a whole lot of good reviews on it. Have you seen it? What do you think?
You know what, I'm gonna say, just don't listen to anybody on it. You know, try and go in with a fresh eyes. Don't watch it like, don't be like, all right, I want to watch a good Scooby-Doo show. Just be like, I want to watch a funny adult animated show that happens to be constantly referencing Scooby-Doo. That's how I feel about it. Like, it's nothing Scooby-Doo, it's nothing we've ever seen before. There's no mystery in the traditional, like, villain of the week sense. And I know a lot of people don't like how much they've diverted from the formula, and the characters are completely different. So I just like to think of it like, all right, just people who love Scooby-Doo made a show about people who love Scooby-Doo. You know what I mean? Like all right. TV references, well, Scooby anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the thing that we all wanted was a rated R Scooby-Doo. I think that mm-hmm. the kids that grew up watching Scooby-Doo, I think that we're pretty much all adults now, almost in our 30s, and we want to watch like a rated R Scooby-Doo where they have like cussing and real murders and stuff like that. That's something I'm definitely interested in. I am mostly on, I don't care about, like, you know, the characters being different or whatever. I'm mostly upset about Scooby-Doo not being in something that's based off of Scooby-Doo, if right. that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, there's I don't no know Scooby.
There's a Family Guy. I don't know. You watch Family Guy at all?
Yeah.
There's an old Family Guy clip where he's talking about Scooby and the gang, and he's like, Fred is like describing a murder, and he's like, this is one sick, twisted son of a bitch. And I'm like, I think this growing up is what we all wanted to see, was like, it's the same characters, the same, you know, thing, but they're solving real murders, you know? But I mean, I'm not against. I'll try it. Like, I'll try whatever. I'm down to give it an old honest go. I'm not holding my breath, if that makes sense, you know?
Right. Just go in with no expectations. Not good, not bad, just neutral. You know, go ahead.
I heard it's a lot like Big Mouth, is what okay. people were telling me, like, very adult, like.
It's like, it's not kinda dirty weird. Like Big Mouth is, but it's definitely only for adults.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
I feel like a prudish people, if I may say, might say it's like Big Mouth, just because if they only made it 5 minutes in, you know, I know a lot of people watched 2 or 3 minutes and then shut it off. The first few minutes are very vulgar on purpose. Like, they're trying to be clear, like, yeah, we're an adult show. Kids, turn this off. Parents, if you see your kids watching this, turn it off right now. And so I feel like a lot of people, they're unhappy that Scooby-Doo is adult. I've heard a lot of people complain, like, they're like, these are cherished kids characters. They don't want to see them in adult situations. So definitely the people who are like that may right away say, oh, there's nudity in Scooby-Doo. Turn it off right away. It's just like, you know, another foul adult show is just filled with excessive stuff. But right away, the excessiveness goes away, I think.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm down to try it. I think I'm going to wait for all of it to come out. Definitely. So I don't have to wait week to week.
Right. That's the waiting. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing that with Bad Batch right now. It comes out every week. I'm just like, I don't like it because sometimes you get an episode that just doesn't float your fancy. And so it's kind of like, man, I waited a whole week for that. Like this last episode of Bad Batch wasn't great. And I was just like, man, that was kind of boring to wait a whole week
and
for.
It's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and they're too short, but I don't know.
Did you finish the original Clone Wars? Have you seen the whole thing?
I've seen the original Clone Wars start to finish about 9 times.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's an absolute classic. Are you talking the 3D one or the 2D one?
The 3D one.
Seen the 2D one?
Oh, the like cartoon
yeah,
one?
From Tartakovsky, like, the Samurai Jack guy.
Yes, I have seen that. I have not watched it as much as I've watched the 3D one, the newer one, the Bad Batch style one. That's the one that I watch. And honestly, to me, Star Wars is episode 1 to 6 and everything in between. And then kind of like the last three like big movies, I just was not a big fan of.
Take it or leave them, right?
Yeah, I think I like The Force Awakens, the first one, number 7, I think it would be. I liked that one, but I think The Last Jedi was kind of shitty. And then the very last one, The Rise of Skywalker, was just...
I haven't even seen those two. I didn't even bother, honestly.
You know what? I honestly think you made the right choice doing that, but it is what it is. They can't, you're not going to please everybody. When you bring something like this back, a franchise this big, you're not going to please everyone.
They try and they fail, and that's okay. Rogue One was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked Rogue One. It's not my favorite. I actually like Solo better than Rogue One.
Okay.
And a lot of people give me shit about that because they didn't like Solo for some reason, but I actually thought Solo was one of the better movies.
I don't know why everyone Rogue wanted One had that- to bring back Harrison Ford to play a young himself. Like, that would have made no sense.
I don't know how that would have been possible.
Right.
Like, I think the guy did a really good job. And also at the end when they showed Darth Maul, I think that could have been a really good sequel for Solo, like moving on with that. I think that could have been really cool, but it just got a bunch of hate. And I'll be honest with you, it got a bunch of hate at first, but now a lot of people are actually saying that it's really not as bad as they thought it would, and they'd be interested in a sequel, but it's already too late. Like,
oh yeah. Disney's a billion dollar business. They forgot about it by now.
Oh yeah. It's already in the vault. Like, they lost the key for sure.
So I was going to ask, or I guess you might not know, in the original Clone Wars, the 2D animated series, there's a character named Shaggy in it that's based off of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. He's got a green lightsaber and everything. He fights with what's his name? The guy with the robot, General Grievous. He fights General Grievous.
General Grievous. Yeah. I did not know that. That is news to me. The 2D one I have not seen as much.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the finale of the first season, maybe.
Okay. I did not know that. That's actually pretty cool.
With some I got some deep crossover lore there for you.
That's actually pretty cool too. Like, How do you find stuff like that?
I was just actually just rewatching that show one day, and I'm like, wait, who is this character? And then I Googled it, and yeah, it's Shaggy. It's really Shaggy. Like, his name is spelled like a Jedi, you know, they put an apostrophe and some I's in there, you know.
That's actually pretty cool.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your history? You're number 15, lightweight. How'd you get there?
Man, when I was a kid, so I'm dyslexic. I'm not very good at reading. I have trouble. I had a lot of trouble in school. And so for me, like, anything past working like just a 9-to-5, which I was not interested in doing, was going to have to be something in sports. And I thought it was going to be football for the longest time. And okay. I'm really, really bad at football. So I decided I better try something else. And I tried wrestling for a little bit. And I liked it, but it wasn't really like, it wasn't really something I knew I could make a living out of doing. And then one day, one of my buddies invited me over to watch a UFC fight. And I was like, isn't UFC like fake, like WWE? And he's like, no, like WWE and UFC are two completely different things. I was like, all right, like, I'll try it out. So I watched one fight, and I was like, bro, this is what I want to do. I want to get into a cage, and I want to fight another human being to make money. And I want to be the best in the world at it. So I started watching a bunch of YouTube videos. I started training in my backyard with my friends, and we started having like fight nights. And we would just put our UFC gloves on, and we would fight each other. And pretty soon my friends wanted to stop doing it because they were getting beat up a lot. And I was like, man, I want to keep doing this. So I went and found a real gym. 22-0. That's what my record was in the backyard. I actually still have them on DVD. So I went and found a real gym, trained there for about a year, and then had my first amateur fight. Moved to a bigger town when I graduated high school, had my first pro fight, and then moved to Kansas City, Missouri to train at a gym there with a couple of UFC fighters. I trained there for about 8 years, got into the UFC, had like maybe four or five fights with the UFC. And then I moved to Florida, where I'm at now, and I train at the biggest gym in the world. And I've been here for about a year. Actually, it'll be a year. February 13th will be a full year. I've had two fights with this gym. My record is 19-1. And yeah,
just, oh man, you dominate it. It's out a slow there, grind. Man. I can't.
I'm trying, bro. I appreciate it.
You said you want to be the best ever. I think you're gonna be the best ever.
I appreciate that, man. It's number 15. Right now, but pretty soon it's going to be number one. That's the goal, man.
There you go.
One night, that's the goal.
So I want to ask you, I couldn't really find an answer. What does KGD stand for?
So my nickname originally was King Grant Dawson. In MMA, there's a bunch of guys that like go by King and stuff like that. And my two favorite fighters at the time were George St. Pierre and Rafael Dos Anjos. George St. Pierre, I don't know if you know much about MMA, but George St. Pierre goes by GSP, and Rafael Dos Anjos goes by RDA. And so I was like, I like these two fighters. They go by like the letters, so I'm going to go King Grant Dawson, so KGD.
Nice, nice. And it stuck. I like it. It's very catchy.
Yeah, thank you. And you know what's funny is a lot of people don't ask me what it stands for. They kind of just don't give a shit.
No, I was really curious. I'm like, is that just your middle name?
If my parents had 9 months to name me and they put KGD as my middle name.
I've seen some strange names, man. Believe me.
That is true. That is very, very true. There are some strange names out there. They're all cool.
So is there any other inspirations for your line of work? You mentioned a couple, or who else has inspired you?
Man, I don't know about like inspiring me, but I think one thing is my dad always taught me, like, you know, he was teaching more like for regular jobs, but he's like, whatever your job is, you need to become the best at it until they want to move you up. And then you become the best at that. And then they move you up and you become the best at that. And so he kind of always ingrained, like, look, if you're going to do something, you do it to the best of your ability. If you're mowing the lawn or you're trying to become a football star, you do it to the best of your ability. And that kind of stuck with me, especially just watching him because, you know, he's old school. He's a truck driver. And he worked at a corn mill plant. And so he would do truck driving and corn mill plants like all the time, just working his ass off 24/7. And so when I got into MMA, I remember he told me, he was like, hey, like, if you're going to do this, you have to do this as hard as you can to the best of your ability. And you have to understand that even if you win the fights, you're still going to get beat up. So you have to be ready for that. And I remember I was about to take my first MMA fight ever. And I've been training so hard for it every single day. Like I would go to school in the morning. I would wake up, I'd go for a run. And then I would go to school in the morning. And then once school was over, I would drive straight from school to training. And then I would train. And then I would drive straight from training back home, go to bed, and get ready for the next day.
Oh, man.
I did that for like a year. I mean, I still do that now, but I did that for like a straight year. And I was about to take my first fight. And I remember my dad was like, you know, I could see how hard you're working at this. And I actually really think that you're going to do really well in this fight. If you weren't working hard, I would say you're going to get your ass kicked. But you're working very hard, and I think that you're going to do really well. And it kind of just stuck with me. Like I want to do the best that I can 24/7 for me, but also like I want to make my dad proud of me.
That's sweet.
I think I have.
That's beautiful. Tell us what's all your ads, what's your websites that we could find you at, and also let me know what's coming next. What's your next fight I can expect to see you in?
So like, if you guys want to follow me, if you guys want to get in contact with me, if you guys want to talk Scooby-Doo with me or anything else, hit me up on Instagram. Obviously I can't see everybody, but I try to respond to as many people as possible on Instagram. I try to stay in touch with as many people as possible on Instagram. I know that I don't get to everybody. I don't see everybody's, I don't get to reply to everybody's, but I really try to get as many people as I can on Instagram. I'm not super big on Facebook, and I absolutely hate Twitter. So don't follow me on Twitter. other than that, you know, you can follow me on TikTok. You can follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook. If you want to follow me on Twitter, go ahead, but you ain't going to get a hold of me on Twitter. Your second question, as for a fight, I don't have a fight date yet or an opponent, but they told me that late March, early April is when you'll see me next. So I'm actually hoping for some news here in the next like week or two.
Oh, nice. Look, I'll keep an eye out for that for sure. How was Brazil?
Yeah, it was all right. I like America better. but it was good. It was beautiful. The sun was really good. I got a nice little tan going. My main training partner and my brother in combat, Thiago Moises, he got a big win that night. So that was really cool to be a part of that. And the food was amazing. The food was absolutely amazing. So it was a really good trip, but I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to start getting after it and getting back into camp, you know?
Well, man, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. Is there any other knowledge you want to share with us before we get out of here?
Man, I've worked my entire life at one thing, and that is MMA. And I've reached a pinnacle right now where I'm ranked number 15 in the world. And I think that not a lot of people can do that. And I think that if there's one piece of advice I could give to anybody watching this, that is go watch Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
Yes. Thank you so much. That was a great ending for the show. I appreciate you coming on to Daphne 2 Presents. We'll see y'all next time.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Blake, thanks for joining Daphne 2 Presents.